Still, mercy.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right, everybody, we here. Gary back from his world tour.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Well, like a Tribe Called Quest.
World tour with my
high rollers roll.
Going each and every place with the mic in my hand.
With a mic in my hand. Come on, Dre.
That's right. We're on a war tour with Muhammad, my man. Going each
Y'all
going to
make
Dre
think he can quit his day job, man. Don't psych him up too much.
Oh, man.
I knew he was
going to
be with me with that reference, though.
Don't be jealous, man. That's what we got, man. You know.
Hey, yes, sir.
This is what Gary was.
Oh, he had it ready too.
Huh?
Yeah, that right. I'm impressed.
The
real DJ right there.
That's right.
The real DJ right there.
What you got, man? What you got, Gary? Come on. What?
Got it queued up. I love it.
You got to say Houston. Oh, man, welcome
nice.
To this Talk of Sports on the 12th, man. That's what we do, man. We have some fun here every single week. It's been a little emotional, I got to say. I'm just happy that, again, your boy is out, man. You know I'm out. Trump is out of the office, man. You know, I'm just, you know, he can go kicking and streaming, man. Good news is that.
He ain't going out easy, though. That dude trying to wreck up some stuff before he go out.
Most definitely.
Man, he's a fool.
Like Roger Goodell is going to get out, but it's all good, man. We're having some fun, man. Welcome
Uh-oh.
Again.
Yeah,
we got a
well,
lot of
Brady,
to talk about.
Tom Brady and Trump kind of have a little something in common this week. They both got their asses kicked.
Oh, man. I have a.
And I'm
feeling
to
say it was a great weekend, a weekend for me.
Yes.
I do have a theory about that. I think that Jameis Winston was over there like feeding information to the Saints, man, because you know it that was just too much of a good ass, like an ass for him, man, because you know he was like, yo, do this, man, you know. That's my little theory.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I was like, man, I don't know what's happening. I hate both squads, man. I didn't really know who to go for, man. So I was actually happy to see you know Tom lose, but then you know, damn, Saints.
It's hard to root against Saints.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Can you say they Saints?
Oh my goodness.
Here we go.
Lord have mercy. Yeah, let's start the show.
Before we started, the number to call to the show is always.
JQ, half the defense from Ohio State. How you root for them?
I
root against them.
I know, it hurts that. It hurts me.
I want to see you guys.
Huh?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good to see you, Gary. Good to see everyone. Good to see, you know, again, we had some technical difficulties last week, but I'm happy to denote that we got Blog Talk back to where it should be. So, you know, it was acting like Donald Trump.
Yeah, you're right.
Work. But, you know, hey, we got this, man. So, again, we got a lot of things to discuss, man. Gary, it's good to see you. We're going to go around the room as we always do. JQ, tell me how you feeling, bro.
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm doing all right. Just trying to, you know, make sure I keep my girls on this distance learning. Keep them on that Zoom call. They want to run around and play with the dog. I'm like, come on, man. You got to go to math class, player. You know what I'm saying? But outside of that, we good, man. How you doing?
You know you're going to be an educator, right?
Yeah, like, come on, man. You got to get back on the Zoom. What are we doing?
Yeah, focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Same with my son. I got to keep him in line to make sure he's going to his classes too.
That's going to be like Rob. They just like walk out the Zoom. You don't know what's happening. Is that what's going on? You know. So.
Yeah, it's just like squirrel, and it's like, no, man, get back in here. What are you doing, man? You got to relax.
Oh, my goodness. Rob Ford, man. What's going on, bro? You know, I had to, like, you know, just mess with you, man. But what's going on, man? Looking fresh and so clean. Got the Drew Brees jersey on, man. Rob is feeling like a brand new man. What's up, bro?
Tell her what's going on. But I know y'all probably think I'm going to talk about my Saints, but I'm going to be humble. I'm going to talk about this Indian food I ate tonight, man. Ooh-wee. Man, I tell you, boy. Yeah, the Indian cuisine in Houston is off the chain, man.
So you get some of that chili naan and that
that curry? What they throw a little curry on the asparagus and you call it Indian food?
Man, I didn't have any asparagus tonight, man. No asparagus tonight.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Where's Rob?
No asparagus tonight. Little break. Mm-mm. Man,
your intestines. Thank you.
Look at that, man.
That boy is crazy. I hope you didn't eat that with that white jersey on.
Y'all see that?
Yeah, you
did. No, man. I was suited up, man. I had my good clothes on, man. I had a suit and tie on, man.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, JP.
I'm digging that. You know that.
Oh,
I'm digging that.
Yeah. All right. Had the teal suit on with the tie. Had the three-piece one. I was rocking the three-piece on them.
Well, man, you're big shot now. You're big time. You know?
Wow.
I've heard of Rob.
You're big time now.
Yeah.
You gotta rock that suit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got Graham Black. That dude said he had a teal suit on like he was a Charlotte Hornet executive. Like, come on,
bro. Oh, man. Man, I was on a Microsoft team meeting today, man. They were like, what color suit is that?
Mm-hmm. Don't hurt
he
him, playboy.
Like, he has a suit, JQ, like the Easter suit. They're like, what type of suit was that? He was like blind in the room and stuff like that.
That's why you always find those posts.
He's like, yo, this looks kind of hot. I'm going to actually roll with this. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. My wife's about to send me the pictures now. I'm about to show you all that teal suit.
Teal suit. Go get them, Rob.
Wow. Curtis and Gary, like you said, Gary, it's good to see you back, bro, after your world tour again. What's going on, sir? How you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling good. It's good to be home for just a little while. We'll be home for about 10 days, and then we're going to head south again. You know, the problem with, you know, that southern Arizona and the southern parts of Texas, you know, and New Mexico, their infrastructure down there is not very good. I think they're just starting with dial up or something, because it is really bad for phone service, internet, everything.
We know you got that satellite phone. Don't play with us, man. You know you got that satellite phone. You ain't using no regular cell. You're like, get out of here.
Yeah, I got the big brick, you know.
Wall Street over here.
You know, I'll tell you something. I bought this brand new Infiniti K30 back in the day, 1993, brand new. I put a car phone in it and everything, right? And I'm going around and I'm calling everybody or whatever. You know, I'm not realizing that there's charges for all of these things.
I get my first
phone bill and car payment at the same time, and the car and the phone bill was like one and a half of the car payment. It was crazy. I'm like, can't call this number again.
That is funny. You see that, guy?
Look at that suit.
Come
look at
get
that
him.
Phone, man.
Go on, get him.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Look at that.
Robin, she's like, yeah, took this what the fridge so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told you. Oh, out there looking like a shady deacon.
Gary, I want some phenomenal, Gary.
Oh, man. Was that you, JQ?
Not a fool, you know. Gary be having a suit game tight, too.
Oh, man. I'm crying.
Gary got as far as standing tone. If he would have just went, another 300 miles, he could have ran into you in Houston.
I didn't know where you were. I didn't know, Rob, whether
only 300
you were
miles.
Still in Houston or if you were in Tampa yet. And I thought about it. We'll be down that way here soon.
Oh, did you guys see this? I'm watching, you know, that Fox pregame show with Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, Strahan, and them, right? Now, they're getting this heated argument over Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. And they're messing with each other, and they're joking. And Jerry got a little bit hotter than Colin, right? And this tickled me to death. Jerry all of a sudden pulls his chair back, and he's getting ready to stand up. And Howie and Sonny Hub told him, "Oh, Jerry, don't stand up, Jerry. Don't stand up, Jerry. Jerry, you about to get your head took off. Don't you dare stand up." And it brought me back to Ollie Frazier, that famous woman, Howard Cosell. Yeah. Sit down, Joe. Oh, brought me back to those days. Don't you dare stand up.
I did see something that was interesting. There was a kid with Down syndrome. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but he did the whole
triathlete
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a champion.
Yeah.
To battle with all of the what you have to go through, someone having that, and to be so dedicated with his dad and to push through something like that. I was telling Curtis, I said, you know, you take a guy that like LeBron that's, you know, NBA champion and MVP of the championship and all this stuff. Boy, look at this kid, Down syndrome, and to do that and succeed and compete when 90% of us couldn't or wouldn't dedicate ourselves to that. And this kid did. And hats off. I couldn't catch his last name. His first name was Chris. So, man, congratulations to Chris for that remarkable achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Good stuff, man. And way to start the show, too, man. So, again, I know we have a lot of things to dive into, you know, and we were just I'm letting us just kind of, like, get it out and just, again, just recap everything that's been going on through this crazy week, too, man. So, again, looks like Rob dropped off. I don't know why. He must have did that by accident. But,
I don't know what happened. I'll log back in.
Okay, well, cool. So, we're going to kick it off.
He's
going to
go
put
on the green, too.
What
did he
say?
Talk about the top candidates.
He said you're going to put on a green suit.
Oh, man, I won't hurt y'all like that.
Yeah, I know you were thinking about it. Are we going to get to this show? I don't even know. I don't know what's going to happen. Let's talk about the top candidates for the MVP so far. I mean, has Seahawks taken a nice little dip? Man, what the hell happened with that?
I don't think Russell Wilson's in the conversation anymore. Seeing him get his. I think he's out of the conversation after that Buffalo situation.
I don't think I'm talking about a conversation, but I did move him down a couple of spots. I moved him down to number 3. You know, I moved Patrick Mahomes back up to number 1 spot right now for the MVP. And the thing you got to worry about with Patrick Mahomes is, he's quietly still getting it done. I think with the voters, I think you got to be worried about with Mahomes is, you know, I think it's just going to be expected of him, right? So hopefully it doesn't, you know, hurt him. But when you really look at it, he's still the guy that's putting up the numbers. So I moved him back up to the number 1 spot. His team is 8-1. I think Josh Allen is back in the conversation. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, they're 7-2. Really impressive against Seattle, even though Seattle's defense is suspect. So I got Josh Allen at number 2 spot. I moved Russell Wilson down to 3. I got Aaron Rodgers 4 and Kyler Murray number 5. Even though he lost to Miami, I still got him in that conversation.
Who's number 2, Rob?
I got Josh Allen number 2.
I got you. Okay, cool. Nice. Okay, all right. I thought you were going to go with Curtis' favorite pick, too. Go ahead, JK.
I can't necessarily quibble with that. I think, you know, if you looked at Russell's numbers and they were coming from behind, I think he still threw for 390 yards against Buffalo. But the turnovers, the two fumbles and the two interceptions, is going to knock him down the peg. So I can get that. Yeah. The thing about it also with Patrick Mahomes is, you know, you get that fatigue of a dude, you know, winning there and then winning the Super Bowl MVP. Like, you know, the same thing with Jordan in the NBA. Like, you're tired of voting for the same dude. I wonder if he runs into that, even though it's still so early in his career. But I'm with you. I think Patrick Mahomes just quietly is still doing what he does, and we're taking it for granted so early on in his career that we just assume he's going to make these crazy half, three-quarter throws, you know that one he threw the other day. Like, you just expect it out of him. We're taking it for granted. It's really crazy. Quietly, Aaron Rodgers, and he's got Devontae Adams just acting the complete donkey. I mean, he's getting, you know, 13, 14 targets a game and just going nuts, and you know that he wants to throw it to Devontae Adams.
He was insane against 49ers.
He went nuts, and you know he wants to throw it to Devontae Adams, and he still finds him, which is amazing. I think it's jumbled. We basically have turned it into a quarterback, you know, award at this point. I think Brady was in it, but till that stink fest he put up against the Saints. But I'm with you. I think Josh Allen jumps back in it. So you can have your flavor. Kyler Murray quality is doing it. I think he would get a little bit more if they had won that game against Miami. But, you know, right now I think I would put Patrick Mahomes one, and then you could make an argument for me between Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers 2 and 3, and I would put Allen probably 4th, and then Kyler, Tom Brady somewhere in that 5th spot.
I think the difference between, you know, that there's a pretty good gap, I think, between one, Mahomes, and the other four. I think the other four, you can really make an argument to put them in any order you want, in my opinion, of the mine and JQ's opinion, because what I say JQ usually agrees with almost everything. So I think you can make an argument for the other four guys. So I say, JQ, you were right. I loved your picks. I think you're doing a fantastic job. Love the hairdo.
Well, I think this Sunday, I think two people went out. I think Russell went out of the conversation. I think Tom Brady went out of the conversation. I also think at one time I thought Tampa Bay had a shot for the Super Bowl. I don't think that anymore. But
well, I'm not a Tampa Bay fan, but I don't know if it's, I don't know if you just totally eliminate them, though.
Here's what it is for me. If this team stays undefeated, somebody's going to have to be talking about Ben Roethlisberger, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but you know, when I was, you know, evaluating this earlier today about MVP candidates, I thought about Big Ben, but when I did a deep dive on the Pittsburgh Steelers, not that he hasn't had a decent season. But I think the difference with Pittsburgh has been their defense this year. And I think that's what has set them apart. And that's really the main reason why I did not include Big Ben. But you're right, Curtis. I think if they keep winning like this, and he eventually start putting up big numbers, I think you got to include him in the conversation. But so far, you know, just doing a deep dive into the Steelers, I think it's more about them, what they're doing on the defensive end, that's setting them apart. And they're scoring enough points to win, obviously, right? And but their defense is really who has set them apart against the competition.
Well, we were watching TV today, and we were watching Colin Cowherd, and he was talking about Brady not ever winning, you know, the two road games in the playoffs. So with that said, now I think that this is New Orleans division. You know, right now, I believe it will be at the end of the season. And with that said, he's going to have to go in and beat a, you know, maybe a weak NFC East team, and they'll get to them. And then you got to go and you've got to win two games that he hasn't won in the playoffs, because they've had so many home games, probably is one of the reasons. But he's got to go in with a different team, different coach, and play Green Bay at Green Bay, or New Orleans at New Orleans, or at Seattle. And I don't think that's what Curtis is saying. We don't think that can be done by Tampa Bay.
I also want to say this. You know, I'm always one of those guys that talk about chemistry in the locker room, and some people can be locker room destroyers. This Sunday night game, I had some questions about the New Orleans locker room, especially after the punch and the fight and what Drew Brees did at the beginning of the season. And I'm trying to figure out what that locker room is like. But what I end up seeing is maybe the locker room not to be concerned about. The locker room to be concerned about might be Tampa. They might have brought something in their locker room that all of a sudden everybody in that locker room is lost focus.
Well, maybe. You know, you could make a case. You know, they made a lot of big name moves in Tampa Bay, and so eventually you got to wonder what the chemistry's like. And I mean, that was Antonio Brown's first game too. What kind of chemistry, what level the team is. I know they try to bring him along slowly in that game. I think it was just one of those things, and you got to give. I think this game was about coaching, in my opinion. You got to give Sean Payton a lot of credit. You know, the Saints heard all week long, everybody picking the Tampa Bay Bucks, including us on this show. We all picked Tampa last week on this show, except for Nod. She was the only one that picked the Saints to win. And then when you turn on ESPN, you turn on NBC, everybody the entire week was picking the Tampa Bay Bucks. And you don't think Sean Payton drove that message home to the team? Hey, we're the three-time division champs, and they're picking somebody over us to win. Sean Payton drove that message home all week long, and they just seemed like they had a masterful game plan. The team was focused. They were ready to play. And Bruce Arians, in my opinion, did not seem like he had Tampa Bay ready to play. It was that simple. I think it came down to me watching that ball game was about coaching. And the Saints just had a masterful game plan in all three phases, and it did not seem like Tampa did.
Well, you know what? Also, the piece of that is you talk about Antonio Brown. A piece of me wonders what's going on with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, because every time they lose and they don't have a good showing, Bruce Arians comes out and throws Tom Brady completely under the bus. Mike Evans was open. He just didn't throw him the ball. And you're like, come on, Bruce. Like, is that how you're going to treat Tom Brady? Like, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but if you go and pull him into the situation to be your starting quarterback, and every time y'all have a bad game, your first, second, or third comment is about what Tom Brady didn't do in that game, and he's a 20-year vet with 6 Super Bowl rings. Like, how does that work in the locker room? I know you want to hold him accountable, but a piece of that has got to be like, bro, I mean, it ain't just him. You know what I mean? Like, what about that defense? Y'all got destroyed, and it's Tom Brady's fault. It's like, I wonder about how they actually get along behind closed doors, because it seems like something is there between the two of them.
Good call, Curtis.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
And
I don't know if it's one he thinks he's Greg Popovich, where he can just treat the star any kind of way, and you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that pedigree.
He had history with those dudes. No. He don't have history with Tom Brady. He's just throwing him under the bus out the gate. Like, fault.
And just to kind of piggyback what Rob said, too, I think it's interesting because whenever they signed Antonio Brown, they probably came in the game with the overconfidence, I would say, with the Buccaneers. They just think, we got this. And then they weren't ready for that buzzsaw that the Saints have been preparing for. So they were definitely waiting for them for sure, man. So, again, that's the humbling thing. And they realize that the division, like you said, it looks like it's Saints. But, hopefully we'll see how that plays out, man. Let's talk about another interesting game. I thought you were going to talk about, Sam Darnold for MVP there, Curtis. But I'm glad you kind of, backed that down, man. So, again, let's talk about the Patriots, how they definitely, squeak past the Jets. And, this is crazy that – I still don't know how I wish Nodge was on, because you can talk about how Adam Gase still has a job, man. Because, again, you saw Flacco start, and again, Joe Flacco does one good play, one bad play. Just, again, just kind of like ups and downs. And then same thing with, Cam's not that same dude anymore, obviously. So not the best teams, but actually turned out to be a pretty interesting game. If you're the Jets, I don't know where you go. Again, I'm not sure why Adam Gase still has a job, Rob. So I'll let you start for that one, man.
Oh, I'm still one of your favorite lines, Andre. Maybe he has some pictures.
Yeah, he probably does.
Maybe that's what it's all about. But, obviously, the Jets are 0-9, but when you really look at their roster, they don't really have any weapons. They don't have any guy biting in the backfield. They don't have any receivers. They're
offensive line.
And part of that is Adam Gase's fault, right? I mean, if he's in the war room picking the players and helping, supporting them and things of that nature, you know, he has to take some kind of blame for that as well. And but they have not surrounded Sam Darnold with the personnel. I still personally believe, in listening to a lot of NFL executives, I still think Darnold could be a player in this league. It's not going to be with the Jets. Somebody else is going to give him another chance. But I still think he can be a player in this league. But the Jets just don't have the personnel. You know, Cam Newton last night was very efficient. You know, he didn't, you know, make a lot of big throws, but he was very efficient. I mean, one point in the game, he was like 21 or 23, just completing passes, moving the team down the field, and, you know, kept him in the game. And, you know, dinking and dunking, but, hey, you know, you're getting first downs, you're moving the football. Hey, if the defense not stopping it, that's fine. So I thought he had one of his better games on last night. I know the Patriots didn't have their best cornerback last night, Stephen Gilmore. But I mean, that kind of hurt. But I was kind of surprised how well Flacco was able to move the ball on the Patriots. But that might have had a lot to do with it too, in keeping them in that game. But you're right. I mean, that was an opportunity for the Jets to win on last night and totally blew it. Down the stretch, had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, Adam Gase's job, is, as you said, is definitely in jeopardy. And, you know, we'll see. You know, Greg Williams, I know he kind of threw some shots at Gase a week or two ago. I can't remember that how long ago it was, but he kind of took some shots at him.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, though, I think they do have some talent. I think the problem is those wide receivers haven't been healthy all at the same time until last night. And you saw Joe Flacco get off to a fantastic start. Perriman and Mims and Crowder, I think this might be the first time they've all three of them have played this season.
Right,
and you saw them come out there completely healthy with Flacco when it gave him a little bit of time. He was moving the ball on that Patriots defense.
He really was.
I can't say I say that. I think they have a decent wide receiver core for the life of me, and I love Frank Gore. You know Miami is my second favorite university outside of Ohio State in terms of college football, but for the love of Christ, you got to find out what you have. You got to find out what you have on LaMichael Perrine. Why are you still giving Gore half the carries? You got to let Gore come in as a change of pace, mentor that young dude, and find out if he can be a running back for you. And if not, then you move on and get another running back. Why they are still trotting 37-year-old Frank Gore out in the 0-8 season? I have no idea what's happening with that. At all for a rebuilding
team.
You're being
kind. The dude probably like about 83.
Yeah, man, listen, he's running like he's 83.
Go Frank
Gore,
man.
I love him. You know, he's a class act, but I just don't understand that philosophy when you're trying to figure out who you have on your team. And then from the New England side of the ball, they're trying guys out there, you know, the dude returning the kicks, and outside of Jacoby Myers is getting 14, you know, catches in the game. They got dudes like, who the hell are these dudes? Like, you don't necessarily see the Patriots just trotting out nobodies. They're trotting out nobodies on the offensive line, at wide receiver, on the defensive line, at linebacker. You're looking like, who are these Patriots? I have no idea who these are. It's just startling to see the Patriots be at that high of a level. And I hate them, don't get me wrong, but have players year after year and then see who they trot out and struggle with an Adam Gase 0-8 team. And Flacco was playing a great game until he threw that one interception, and then he remembered he was Joe Flacco and went back to playing bad ball for the rest of the fourth quarter, and he allowed the Patriots to win that game. But for the first three quarters of that game, Flacco was really good in that game against the Patriots. It was crazy. It was just wild to see.
Well, you're talking about the Patriots. If they were the Patriots of a couple years ago, you know, and they're not. They're the Cam Newton Patriots. And like I told you guys, and that's not a good version of them. And Curtis and I saw a little stat again. I've told you guys this before. 43% of Bill Belichick's game without Tom Brady, he's got a 43% record. So he's got a horrible record without Tom Brady, and it's going to be that record as long as he has Cam. You know, 21 of 22 for 91 yards or whatever. Who knows? I don't know what his stats were. But those aren't the same Patriots. They were, a two-win? They're two going into the game, a two-win team. So it's not like they were, you know, 8-2 or, you know, or 7-1 or whatever, you know, they're another weak team in the league, playing the weakest team in the league other than the Cowboys.
Well, you know what I saw? You know what I saw? I'm watching that game, and I'm thinking, how come Joe Flacco never looked like that in Denver? What happened? He never looked that good in Denver, ever, when he was there. And it was, well, okay.
What, his feelings?
Okay.
His neck.
And then the other thing, I saw, and that surprised me, they showed the graphic on Monday Night Football. Frank Gore passed Barry Sanders to be third on the all-time rushing list behind Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton.
Yep.
That made me take a pause. That made me think.
Frank Gore.
Yeah, when you play to 83.
I'm saying. Like, you play in 18 years. I mean, that I get it.
That sounds like, hey,
yeah,
that sounds like, hey, he's still going. He's still going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just wild. I mean, like I said, the people that are trotting out there, and I hear you, but part of that is a little bit unfair to Cam Newton. Edelman was already starting to look like he was on the downside. Now he's out. You're talking about, was it Isaiah something? They picked up, they traded for him. And then Jacoby Myers, like, wide receivers that you would slit your wrist if they was on the Cowboys and they were starting for your Cowboys.
And Nikhil
team,
Henry,
like,
the first round pick, hasn't stepped up yet either.
Yeah, he's a bust. You can go ahead and call him a bust right now. He's gonna have to do a whole lot to shed that label. There's no weapons on the outside really for him in New England. It's bad. I was watching that. Like, who are these guys that they are? They say that one dude that returns kicks and was a receiver was a cornerback in college. And it converted him to wide receiver and to return the kicks. That's what the New England Patriots are working with.
And it's a good reason. You know, we saw Tom Brady kind of fade last 8 games of the season last year. And you're starting to see why. He didn't have the weapons there. He did not have the weapons in New England any longer.
Yeah.
Well, Curtis had a comment earlier today that was about Belichick and about his inability to – bring in that not draft that kind of wide receiver talent. He hasn't done that in New England. He's drafted great lines, defensive players, of course, quarterback, you know, sixth round pick and all that. But as far as receiver,
I think the only one that they can point to that's been an all pro is Gronk, that he has drafted in any kind of weaponry position. In all those years that he's been being the GM and picking these players, he gets defensive players, just guys on the line, but he doesn't have a clue, apparently, what our weapons.
I agree.
Well, I think he's been getting lucky picking up, like, receivers on the scrap, supposed on the scrap heap, like, picking up, you know, disgruntled guys, you know, from, unfortunately, the Chad Ocho Cincos of the world, so the Randy Mosses, and he kind of survives in the Edelmans and stuff like that, too. So you kind of pick up some things, and then, you know, obviously if he doesn't know his strength as drafting receivers, he's going to stay away from it. Or if he realizes, hey, I've got like some tight ends, I'll utilize those weapons from the Aaron Hernandez back in the day to different things too. So he kind of like, again, just kind of looks at his squad, kind of picks and chooses based upon that too. So, but I will say about the Patriots, and I'm not a Patriots fan too, I just like hating on you guys, the fact that they haven't really had a chance to practice. They've been kind of going, the COVID thing happened, and they just spent additional in the squad, and you're kind of seeing the effects of that too. So, you know, there's some things in that. There's some truth to that too, JQ. I don't care. You can shake your head all you want too, but that's been proven as well too. So
you can practice with them dudes. Them dudes ain't gonna do it in the game. You can get them 2 straight weeks of practice. Them dudes just aren't. They have no game breakers on the outside. Like, you can practice, but those dudes don't have the skill set. Practice isn't gonna change that.
Come on, man. You mean tell me Rex Burkhead is not a game breaker?
We ain't saying that either, but I'm saying that there's some squad, there's some things with that too. But let's talk about the Curtis and Gary here, because I'm excited to talk about the Steelers, and I'm excited to talk about your boy. Why is Andy Dalton named starter for now? And also, that was an interesting game too, because we're talking about that the quintessential trap game here, in that, you know, I don't think the Steelers thought the Cowboys were going to play them that well, and they're like, oh shit, we got to like turn it on. But, you know, kudos to the Cowboys, you know. What's his name? Gilbert played really well, Barrett Gilbert. And you're still kind of perplexed, like, why are we even in this conversation about Andy Dalton? So, Curtis and Gary, you kind of have the floor for this. And, obviously, you guys with the big blow losing Trayvon Diggs as well. He's going to be out for the season, too. Not like you need anything else to go wrong with the Cowboys. So,
they're saying 4 to 6 weeks on Trayvon now.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks.
They're saying 4 to 6 weeks on Trayvon now with a broken foot.
Oh, really?
Why bring him back?
I thought it was like, that's what I'm saying. Is it like, seven weeks left or 7 games
good
left
point.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
First of all, why bring him back? It's last season with all the injuries, you know, to the offensive line, to the starting quarterback, you know. Don't bring him back for the rest of the season. Let him heal correctly. Let him heal, you know.
Probably a good chance it won't.
Right. By that point, when they're, you know, 2-14, there's, you know, there's no reason. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a 2-14 record.
And then what happens, Gary?
I'm gonna say, there was a huge surprise with that mess. This is the first time it really looked like they were competitive. It looked like it was competitive. And maybe the fault of that was Pittsburgh playing down sandbagging on this team. Because I guess Pittsburgh never thought they were going to lose that game. No matter what the Cowboys were doing, I'm thinking on the Pittsburgh sideline, they weren't going to lose that game. They absolutely knew they weren't going to lose that game. But for some reason... and I think what happened was that the Cowboys got rid of the two idiots that they had before and went out on the open market and tried to find the two best guys they could get to be in that quarterback position. And I think that got pretty serious for them. And they really looked like they were competitive. Now, I don't know why. It's part of Jerry's thing, you know. They're playing favorites, and he's probably a Jerry favorite, and that's why we're going to see
Dalton.
But what I hope, if Dalton's not getting
done.
Saying
that like
done,
you're excited about Dalton, Gary.
Yeah, and
you know what? Well, I was there as a backup, and Jake tried to set me straight.
Jake, you said it.
Yeah,
I mean, he really did. He did everything he could, and I didn't listen. Curtis didn't listen. You know? Guess what? I'm listening, Jake.
And what I'm hoping,
he tried to tell you don't eat cheese, Gary.
He was so hot.
When Dalton does a J Q, throw that Gilbert in there and tell Dalton to get on the end of that bench. We tried it, and JQ was right. And go get him, Gilbert. Don't
get him, boy. But you know what a part of that is.
Before we get off the Cowboys thing, I got one question for you guys. Okay, so the scenario is, let's say the Cowboys finish high enough in this year's draft where they're able to draft a guy like Lawrence or one of these top quarterbacks. Do they do that and split away from Dak, or do they keep Dak? You're the GM. What do you do?
Oh, damn.
Well, the piece of me when I look at it is I feel like you never really committed to Dak. Because if you thought Dak was that guy, you would have given him that contract the same way you give the contract to Zeke. You gave it to Lawrence. You gave it to Amari Cooper. What is holding you back from giving that contract to Dak? But I think now the way that Dak went down and that leadership board that you're seeing in that locker room, I think it's going to make them think twice. Me personally, I would consider it, but I think he's looking like, well, maybe we sit in the catbird seat where somebody blows us away with an offer if we're sitting there at second or third and Lawrence goes and the Justin Fields is sitting there and one of those teams won and they move up. now we have the ability to get cheaper labor in here and don't have to give them that big money. They slide it into this first round deal and they're only going to make this amount of money. We don't have to haggle with any of the agents or whatnot. You're making this money in this slot. So he may be looking at it like that. Personally, I would, because my thing is, if you didn't give it to him Dak before, now you want to give it to him off of sympathy and coming off a dislocated and broken ankle, compound fracture, what does he look like coming back off of that? So you give yourself a little bit of an insurance plan if you go ahead and get that guy. And if he is, and if he does, then you got yourself, okay, I can trade that. You know, people will trade for Dak in this league. So we'll see. But to get back to the game, and listen, I'm going to tell you, when they play the Bengals, Andy Dalton is going to have the game of his life. I just know that that's coming. For all the shit I talked about him, he's going to have the game of his life. But you have a lot of film on Andy Dalton. You know all of Andy Dalton's strengths and weaknesses as other defensive coordinators. When you throw a Gilbert out there against even a really good team like the Steelers and their defense, you really don't know what his weaknesses and stuff are. You got to go back way back into the film room to try to figure out what he does well and what he doesn't do well. So sometimes it takes a bit of a filling out kind of period to figure out what Gilbert does. And he came out and surprised them because he still has great weapons at wide receiver. Schultz is still pretty good at tight end. And Zeke and Pollard are good at running back. So it's not like he threw a backup quarterback out there that was bereft of weapons. He has weapons to get the ball to. But you have to figure out what Gilbert does well and doesn't do well. And you get a couple of series, a couple of quarters, and you can kind of figure that out. Like, okay, now we can turn that pressure up. And on these pain points. So I think that was really what that was. And people don't take that into consideration. And it's like, well, he's the backup. Yeah, but he's still in the league, and he probably still has some positive qualities. But when you don't see him play, you don't have any tape on him, then you don't really know what to do with it. Does he like pressure? Can he handle pressure from the blind side? Is he better against man or against zone? Those kind of things you don't really know about until you get into the heat of a game and you find yourself in a game and Big Ben gets hurt, and it changes the dynamics of things. So I think that's really what happened, but I think you just saw the Steelers, and we talked about them, are they perfect? I don't think they're a perfect team. They've got a really good defense, but they just find ways to close, and there's something to be said about that. They find ways to close games in the fourth quarter in tight games. They find a way to make a play on offense. They find a way to play on defense. It makes me sick to my stomach, makes me want to throw up, but they find a way to do these things week in and week out, and you got to give Mike Tomlin and that team credit for that.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Gary's question about, hey, if you're in a position to take Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields at the quarterback position, if they have that opportunity. If you're the Cowboys, you got to make that. You got to pull the trigger and take one of those quarterbacks. There's no question about it. Dak is a free agent after this season, so he's not even signed. So you can't even really trade him or anything like that. You definitely make that move. You're going to have a young quarterback for 4 to 5 years. It'll be kind of, you know, somewhat disheartening the way he will leave that franchise and what he's done for them and kind of going out that way. But if you're the GM or the owner, you got to pull that trigger and draft Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. And as JQ mentioned, you don't know how he's going to come back off of that injury, unfortunately. And you can't pay him all, right? So you give Dak an opportunity to be a free agent, showcase what he, his possible recovery to teams and, you know, give him the opportunity to go where he might, you know, have an opportunity to go to. And but if you're the Cowboys, you definitely pull the trigger on that move and take a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields. There's no doubt about it. And in regards to Steelers, I agree. I don't think they're a perfect team. I think they're defensively probably one of the better teams in the league, obviously. And, I'm not totally sold on necessarily James Conner as an elite running back, but I think they got enough, you know, 1-2-3 back there where they can get by. The receivers can be pretty good. Deontay Johnson is a guy, to me, that I think still has room to grow. Chase Claypool, obviously, has been very impressive. And then when you look at Juju, so they got a good mix at the receiver position. I'm not necessarily sold on them as far as running the football the way they used to when you think about the Steelers. But defensively, they're going to be in a lot of games this year because of their defense. But, I don't think there's any perfect team. They're pretty close, but I wouldn't say they're perfect.
The thing about Dak is you're not going to franchise him again coming off that injury with his number. I think it would be like 36 to 37 million. So what number do you even settle on? You know, somewhere you don't feel like you're disrespecting him, but you want to bring him back to maybe see what he's got and what does him and his agent feel like they're going to be worth on the market. And if you couldn't agree what he was worth when he was elite, what is he going to be worth now to you, and what they can't think he's worth coming off that injury? I hate it for him. It's a tough spot, but unless they overpay just to keep him because they like him, I don't know what number you're bringing back to that makes it countable for everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, Justin Fields, and we're talking about Trevor Lawrence. I talked about this on the show last week. We might have 6 or 7 quarterbacks going this first round. And so, you know, even if the Cowboys are not in a position to take one of those two, you know, they could possibly very well be in a position to draft another quarterback depending on where they draft in this draft. I mean, hey, I got Trey Lance, number 7 overall. I got Zach Wilson, number 9 overall from BYU. Kellen Mond, number 23 overall. You got Kyle Trask. You saw the way he lit up Georgia in the first half this past weekend. I got him number 28 overall. I got Mac Jones number 31 overall from Alabama, number 1 team in the country. So you got a bunch of quarterbacks that could very well go in the first round in this draft. And so it's not even just Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
And Zach Wilson looked good the other day.
What about this? If you had that pick and you were going to stay with Dak. Hang on, just one more question, okay? Would you trade out of the first round, get some more second and third round picks, and retool the offensive line around it?
No. I mean, Dak Prescott's coming off a major injury. I think if you, depending on where you slot it, and if you got an opportunity, if a quarterback has got the right value and the right grade where you're picking, I don't see how you pass that up. I mean, this is a quarterback-loaded draft right now. And
the thing about it is you still wouldn't slide out the first round. You would probably swap picks with whoever that is you're trading with in the first round and move back some and still acquire maybe a first next year or a second or third. So you wouldn't fall all the way out the first round. You would probably just go back how many of a slot you are trading with that person to get their first-round pick and then pick up some additional draft capital from them. So I still think you were picking the first round.
Okay.
Yeah, again, Gary, I was giving you a hard time, Gary, but it's all good. There's a couple of quarterbacks that, you know, you got to look at. You know, I was going to make some jokes about Josh Rosen. And I was going to make some jokes about, you know, Mitchell Trubisky and other things. But on a serious note, you know, and there's jokes about Dwayne Haskins and little things like that. But, you know, you got to look at what's going to happen in the league, too, because obviously the Jets are probably going to get the way that it's going. The Jets may get that number one pick. The question is, okay, but yeah, we know that's how it's trending right now. So again, you're looking at it like, is Darnold the guy? That's the number of questions, because we know that, you know, your boy Gates is not going to be there. So that's going to be your first person that you got to think that they need the quarterback. Then you got to look at some other squad. You're looking at, you know, the Bears, you know, where are they at? Then you're looking at, at the 49ers. You know, again, are they looking at a squad? The Washington football team, are they looking for a squad? Cowboys are right there. Giants, they're not looking for a quarterback because they still have Daniel Jones. And those are the guys that – those are the teams that you're looking at that, you know, you may say, you know, again, they may need a quarterback. And then, again, the Patriots, what's going to happen with them? Because, you know, obviously, you know, Cam Sherman has not been going well. Jacksonville, you know, Minshew is not the guy, if you will. Freaking Colts, are they going to, you know, hey, we're going to go back to
Chicago.
This? There's a couple of questions that you have, too. Yeah.
Again. Yeah, there you go.
So you're kind of thinking what's happening with the squad. I will say on another little tangent – that, and as Rob drops off, that the league is in great hands with the young guys. But there's a couple guys, a couple teams that have their quarterback in the future. Great game between Kyle Murray, and Tua. That was a great game, man, because you saw the talent. Like, man, this is
very
exciting. Good to see that. Herbert, you know,
that's a game that should have been on and after close. The Steelers and Cowboys.
Yeah. 100%. but it's, you know, obviously Herbert is playing
keep
well, too. So it's good
keep
to see, like, you know. I know. But, again, good stuff, too. Rob was talking about, you know, the quarterbacks, and I think you kind of touched on it, too, Rob. I guess we can kind of talk about the draft. You know, you updated it with a couple of prospects, if you will. We talked about it. It does seem like it's a pretty deep draft for quarterback, pretty deep draft for, you know, cornerback as well. But, again, you can talk about that, Rob. I know we got about 10 minutes left here before we get into, like, the OC portion here. But talk about that real quick.
Yeah, well, we already touched on the quarterbacks. I don't think, you know, we need to touch more on that. You know, Penesa, offensive tackle from Oregon, still got him in the number 2 spot. Had a really good game. Jamar Chase, you know, wide receiver from LSU, I questioned him sitting out this season, but after seeing what happened to Jalen Waddle, I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe that was a smart decision on his part. And but I still got him in the number four spot. Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama, got him number five. Jake Hughes, other team, Gregory Russo, even though he's sitting out, he's probably still the best edge rusher in this draft. I got him in number six from Miami. Caleb Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech, another big one, number eight in the spot. Got Sean Wade, cornerback, Ohio State, number 11. Michael Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, right now in the 13th spot. Jalen Waddle, obviously coming off the big injury. I still got him in the first round. I got him at 16 from Alabama. Wyatt Davis, interior offensive line from Ohio State, number 17. Marvin Wilson, I've talked about him a lot. He's got a potential to eventually move up in the top 10. His team's got to play better, though, at Florida State. It's really hurting them. Number 18 right now, Dylan Moses, linebacker, Alabama, 19. Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida. He's the best tight end in the draft right now. Got him number 20.
He got blasted.
He sure did.
He got blasted that day. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I'll stop there. You know, I just posted Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama, also in the mix. Got him number 22. Rondale Moore, wide receiver, Purdue, number 26.
Yeah, I was interested in the one with Kellen Mond. I feel like he has the potential and he's got the tools. But when I watch him play, for as big as he is and the way that he can run and the arm he has, he just doesn't wow me every week. I feel like, you know, and quietly they've got a little bit of talent at Texas A&M, but he just doesn't take over games to me like he should. And I get it. He's in that SEC West, and he's got some tough, you know, competition with Alabama, LSU outside of this year, you know, the Auburns of the world. But, I mean, don't you feel like that when you watch him play? I look at Kellen Mond, and I expect him just to be like a dude. Like, he's a big old dude that can run and can throw the ball. And he just has plays and series where he just doesn't exert that his physical talents on the opposition. And I look at it, and, I mean, I know they're ranked up there now. They beat Florida, so that – is showing to be a really big win now that, you know, Florida's beating Georgia. But I just from an eye test standpoint, I don't know if I could pull the trigger on taking him in the first round, even though he seems like he has all the ability, but he just doesn't put it together for me week in and week out.
I totally agree. Prior to this season, I totally agree with you, JQ. He just was not playing up his capability. But it seems like his performance has improved by about five or six notches this year. He's better with his decision making. He's looking receivers off, throwing to the open receiver. He's doing a better job of taking what the defense is giving him this year. And obviously Jimbo Fisher, being a quarterback coach, having an opportunity to now work with him for a few years. And there's no question, as you mentioned, about his ability. He's got the arm strength. He's mobile. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. But this is by far his best season as a college football quarterback. There's no doubt about it. So we'll see if he stays in that first-round mix. I can't see him dropping to the third round. Maybe second, but I can't see him going back to the third round unless he's just horrible here the rest of the season. But I think at this point, I think he's probably solidified himself as a first- or second-round draft pick.
Okay. Well, when I think about that college – and I think about what happened to Jim Harbaugh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Holy smoke. Jimmy.
There's going to be a couple of coaches that are going to have to be questioned, like the Harbaughs of the world.
James Franklin.
Still, there's some questions.
Big 0-3.
Yeah, good. James Franklin, oh, my God, same thing. You got to really question what's happening with that, because that's unacceptable if you're from those programs too.
Hey, Big Rob, 10, hey, right, I mean, Michigan and Penn State, but then Indiana is undefeated. Like, wow,
listen,
that's a topsy-turvy Big 10 so far.
Listen, when I tell you that I'm legit nervous, Tua's little brother is playing extremely well for Maryland. And we've got Maryland and Indiana back-to-back weeks. You could talk about going into the season. It was about Michigan and Penn State. Right now, it's really about them having to go beat Maryland and Indiana. And it's just 2020. Who would have thought that would have come out my mouth as an Ohio State fan? But Tua's little brother's playing good ball. And they at Maryland. That legitimately worried me. And didn't have to play Indiana after that, because that dude Penix is playing good ball for Indiana as well.
He kicked Penn State's ass.
Liberty's undefeated too, by the way. Two frees in that.
Yeah.
Two frees in the squad. Liberty, isn't that crazy? They're undefeated. I mean, just you're gonna find a way to win. Winners will win.
Cincinnati, rack number 7.
Yeah, yeah. Luke Fickell has got the boys playing good.
Yeah.
I got the coach. I got our coaches at Arizona State had USC. I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, boy, it's a good thing they got those NFL coaches down there at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. I went to go get some hot chocolate and turn around and what happened?
That dude will no longer be on the hands team. That ball hit him in both his hands, and he dropped it. I said, "What are you doing?"
Oh my God!
I finally saw that play eventually too.
What's up with that?
Oh my God!
On the hands team and dropping pass. What's up with somebody to be fired, man? You really? You on the hands team? You on the hands?
Yeah. But you know, unfortunately, you know, I'm a Herm Edwards fan, but unfortunately, his Arizona State teams, these 2 years, they've lost a lot of games like that. The end of games is just not finishing strong. But they have teams on the ropes. But then all of a sudden, they find a way to lose, unfortunately. And
that's why he's coaching in college now. He did the same thing in the NFL. That's what
yeah.
that was his.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's, you know, Arizona State. Now, he's played some tough games. And even though these teams got better talent than he has, and he'll have opportunities to win, but they just blow it at the end, and they just not finish the game strong.
Him and Marvin Lewis.
You play
that,
to
both
win
the, coaches.
The game. Hello.
You don't play
right,
the fumble kickoff.
Him and Marvin Lewis.
To win the game.
Those are two coaches that cannot close. They couldn't close in the NFL, and they can't close together in college. Like Marvin Lewis can't be on my squad. Come on, man. Come on. You know Marvin Lewis can't close. You know Marvin Lewis can't close.
Oh, man.
You know he
Marvin
can't.
Marvin Lewis went to the playoffs like 5 times with Andy Dalton as a quarterback.
And didn't
like
win
Jesus.
That one of them.
Like Jesus.
Didn't win one.
Well, if I had to vote on today's show, I would vote for JQ, and he would also win the delegate now. JQ, you're the man.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, am I kissing his butt good enough? Am I doing okay? Yeah, I guess. Oh, you an apology. Yeah, and now you have nailed two things. Made me think about something. Herm Edwards and Andy Dalton. Boy, yeah, I guess you saw a lot of them, and I didn't see enough of them. Because
don't forget Marvin Lewis. Don't forget Marvin Lewis.
Oh, God.
Paul Brown
oh,
kept
God.
Bringing him back, too, year after year.
Yeah.
Cheap ass.
He was cheap. And maybe Arizona got him put on the cheap, too.
He went after name, Paul. That's just name. Yeah, sorry.
Fair
Rob.
But what are we doing?
Fantasy.
But
fantasy.
I might need to be. They need to get. He might need to take a pay cut.
Who is that, Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Man,
his contract is up after next year, so he's
yeah.
going to take a for real pay cut.
Yeah. They're going to get rid of him. they might have to go get the Mad Hatter from 0-7 Kansas to come up there at his alma mater.
I wouldn't be surprised at that.
0-7, that's crazy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give our fantasy shout-outs right now for the week. League number one, JQ's team, the Ohio Players. Had the biggest win of the week, 91.80 to Gurley's and Kump's 40.70. Lions King, that's Casey in Atlanta. His team's in first place with a 7-2 record. League number two, Sean from Atlanta. His team, Black and Gold Patrol, had the biggest win of the week, 185.80 to EP Diablo's 60-something, I believe.
Damn.
Aaron in Hartford, Connecticut, his team, Pelly, 7-2 in first place. League number three, JQ's team again, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 116.64 to Al Poholic, 61.80. Andre's team, Wakanda Forever, 8-1 in first place. And league number four, Andre's team again destroyed his wife's team, 161.30 to 58.70. That's his cold.
How long, Andre?
My team's in first place, flash forward, at 8-1.
I am.
Those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week.
Damn, Dre.
Wow. That was payback of early, wow. Andre.
I couldn't get no loving for some reason today. I
wonder why. Golly.
I was trying to give a hug.
Yeah, he's looking around.
Playing hard to get.
Oh, you better come with some roses or something tomorrow. Some roses and chocolates and all kind of stuff, man.
Get in that elbow. Get out of here.
You in Atlanta or Charlotte, Drake?
I'm in Atlanta. I'll be in Charlotte next week. I was trying to hug on her. She was like trying to give me the elbow. It was messed up.
Yeah, I'm going to see some good restaurants so you can take it to, man.
For real. I'm going to need it for real. Seriously. So it's all good. I'm kind of serious, man. So, but it's all good. Hey, so let's talk about a couple of games.
We beat about 100 points. What you think, man?
Bro, yeah, that's a whooping.
Keep that down, man. You don't have to know. Oh man, I thought it was a bye week. I forgot it. You know, it's all good, but it's all. It's
hey, not, you told us the bye week. That is rough.
Oh man. Yeah, man. Andre, man, you gonna be the dog on the bus after that?
That is crucial. Wow.
You gotta go for it too. I was like, it's a bye week. Go change your squad. What's happening?
Better go find you a sleeping bag, homie.
He gonna need a snuggie.
Shoot. Just got a pistol.
Oh my goodness.
Bye week. Oh, that was. I'm still in trouble.
That's hilarious.
Let's talk about these predictions for real. We got to knock these games out here. Let's talk about the Colts at the Titans, if you will. Colts are coming off that butt kicking. The Titans, again, they're still doing their thing. Go ahead, Rob. Let's talk about this game.
I want to go with the Titans at home in this one. They bouncing back here a little bit. I'm going to go with the Titans at home in this matchup. Phillip Rivers is showing us who he is. He is who we thought he is, right? So, we're going to go with the Titans in this game at home. I'm going to go 30-17 Titans.
That sounds
about
right.
I told you, you're picking them against the Ravens. You're crazy self.
Yeah, that was dumb. I admit that was dumb. That was almost as dumb as when you picked the Colts to beat the Browns several weeks ago, too. I should have learned from you.
Probably by even. But I'm gonna shock you. I'm gonna go with the Colts. I'm still gonna go with that Colts defense. The reason I'm gonna go with the Colts, the Titans defense is not good. Like that Titans defense is not good at all. For real. They have one
neither,
good game.
Neither is Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, but they don't have anybody really to get after the quarterback. The Titans do not sack the quarterback. And if you give Phillip Rivers 38-year-old self some time to throw the ball and get to those tight ends, He can beat you. The thing about it, when you talk about Cleveland, you talk about the Ravens, you just can't sit back there against those teams. He can do that against the Titans because they just don't get after the quarterback like that. And if you have
what's Clowney doing, man?
He got a hurt knee. They talk about he might have season-ending surgery. So they don't have anybody really to get after the quarterback. That's why I'm going to take the Colts. If they play somebody that can rush the quarterback, he's in trouble. If he's got time to sit back there and do what he does, they can win the game. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Who
are we
going with this week?
Shut up,
who just pick. I'm going with the Colts. I don't think the Titans have much of a defense. They can't rush the passer. And if you give that 38-year-old guy enough time, he can get that ball out there.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Going with the Colts. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Good to be back.
That's good stuff. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna go against the grain here. I'm picking the Titans. I don't really believe in the Colts. I really don't. And although I like
Curtis their smarter than all of y'all.
The Titans, they got my favorite running back. And when you got a guy like that, that reminds me of Earl Campbell.
DeAndre Henry.
I don't see how you can go wrong.
I do.
I'm going with the Titans as well, by the way. So good call from that too.
Yeah, when people to the ground running the ball.
We'll see if JQ is victorious. JQ and Gary are victorious next week. let's talk about the next game. The amazing, amazing Josh Allen against the upstart Kyler Murray, if you will, the Bills at the Cardinals. So what say you, Rob?
This one was a tough one for me, but I'm going to go with Buffalo on the road in this one. I'm going to predict them to go all the way across country and beat Arizona. I think it's going to be a really close football game, but I think Buffalo is going to have enough points offensively and enough defense, obviously, to stop Arizona. So I'm going to go 31-27 Buffalo on the road, beating Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Oh, this is a really, really tough game. I don't know what the spread is, but it can't be no more than maybe 3 to 5 points.
Definitely a tough one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the home team. I think they want to get that loss to Miami. They want to flush that out their system.
Me too.
I think the Bills will probably still be riding a little too high after beating Seattle, and that was really uncharacteristic, the turnovers from Russell Wilson. And as elusive as Russell Wilson is, he don't hold a candle to how elusive Kyler Murray is. He's rediscovered Christian Kirk out there as well. That's a close game. You can convince me either way. But I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I think it's going to be another really entertaining game. I don't think it's going to be a defensive game at all. It's going to be something like 34-30. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Well, I think the Cardinals are going to win this game. I don't trust the Bills to go out there and with this Murray kid. He's a scrambler. He's a game changer. He's at home, and he's going to find a way to win the game, 27-23.
What are you doing?
what just happened?
Oh, Cardinals. I'm sorry. I still think that guy in Buffalo, I still call him Hipster Doofus. I don't see anything in that boy, really. And I know, it was the defense that beat Russell Wilson up. And that last decleater that he had, oh, my God, I almost thought they killed Russell. I don't give that boy any credit for that win over Seattle. And I don't see how somebody had him maybe second in the MVP. Mr. Hipster Dukas. And I'm picking Kyler Murray to have my mouth open and be running all over these guys and making these guys look like, how come you guys can't tackle Kyler Murray? How come you guys can't catch up with Kyler Murray? That's what it's going to be like. And so I'm picking them to win, and it's going to be close. It's probably like 27-24.
The Titans have 10 sacks all year as a team. 10.
Okay. Falcons got 9, so I'm with you.
Hey, okay.
All right, we'll see. JQ had a previous point. I'm picking the Cardinals in this too.
Falcons
man.
Cut Zach McKinley, didn't he?
They sure did. We waved with that joker. You can't talk about your employer, expect to still have a job, man. That
no.
wasn't very wise, man.
No.
So,
Not at all.
Less than smart.
Oh, my God.
Ignorant.
Anyway. I'm gonna pick the Cardinals only because I'm a fan of Kyler Murray too, and I like the defense for the Cardinals. You know, again, I think it's uncharacteristic for Josh Allen. Josh Allen is playing well. I do wonder if that jump to that side is going to affect him too, as well for the Bills.
I'm a fan of Murray too,
but we'll see. The next squad, we got the Seahawks at the Rams. So again, is this the opportunity to prove Curtis wrong if you're Russell Wilson and say, yo, that was just an aberration? I know our defense is going through some real challenges here. You know, obviously Adams got hurt. It seems like, you know, problems with the secondary sometimes for the Seahawks. But now, what say you against the Rams? So if you are, I'm going to give it up for West Coast. What say you guys? I'm going to let you guys, Curtis and Gary, kind of pick first, if you will.
Curtis, go ahead. If Russell Wilson loses two games in a row and loses the division game, he will be totally out of the MVP conversation. So being this is a division game, and being that it's a fight for who's going to win this division, I'm picking Russell Wilson to get it done, and I'm picking Pete Carroll to wake up that defense.
You're done.
Yeah. I'm picking Pete Carroll to say, look, I'm supposed to be a defensive coach, and you guys are making me look foolish. That stops now, and Russell get after him. So I'm picking Seattle, and it's going to be close. It's going to be Russell winning the game in the last second, 31-28.
You know, this game here, the Rams and the, you know, they've split the last several years. The Rams always play them tough in Seattle, and as well, Seattle plays them tough, you know, in L.A., I'm not sure who to pick, so I'm going to go with the home team. That's my dad's team. For me, it's a pick'em game because these two teams play each other pretty tough. So I'm going to go with the Rams because that's my dad's team. That's the only reason.
Nice. Okay.
I'm going to go with the Seahawks bouncing back this week on the road. You know, I know Russell Wilson is. He's had a couple of turnover-prone games here, two out of the last 3 weeks. You know, I think he gets it together. I know he had a few turnovers against Arizona a few weeks ago, and then, of course, this past weekend. But I think he bounces back. Seattle's defense is not playing that great. I just don't know if the Rams have the firepower, the offense, to take advantage of it. So I'm going to go with Seattle here. Rams' defense is actually pretty good, too, though. I mean, their defense is good, but I just don't think the Rams are going to be able to score enough points to beat them. I'm going to go 31-21 Seattle in this one.
Love the Ramsey versus DK Metcalf matchup this week. That is going to be entertaining to watch. I'm going to pick the Seahawks to bounce back because nobody talked about it. Has anybody seen Jared Goff play the past couple of weeks? Like, I don't know if they're going to give him some infusion of talent or some watching some more film, but he has been awful. I mean, he's been awful. He gave that game away to Miami. He was awful. He was awful in that game against Miami. I mean, Tua didn't have to do anything because he was like, yeah, you get one and you get one. Like, he was just giving the ball away. Until I see Jared Goff do it over an extended period of time, I have a hard time picking the Rams against an upper echelon team. And Seattle was one of those upper echelon teams. So you got to prove it to me. And Rob knows I am. We're talking about it, you know, defenses, you know, all things being equal. I'm going to go to the quarterback play, and it's a couple check marks in the Russell Wilson column versus Jared Goff. I'm going with Seattle.
Yeah. Real tight division there. And we have Seattle with 6-2. I think the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals are 5-3. Yeah, really tight division going on out there in the NFC West.
Yeah, the Rams are 5-3 and the 6-2. Yeah, so the Cardinals. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's looking like the one that's going to be on the bottom is going to be last year's Super Bowl runner-up in this division.
Yeah, and they're depleted with injuries, but, you know, obviously that has a lot to do with it too. But, yeah, you're right. And, we talked about this a lot in the offseason, that this division was capable of being won. You know, I said it all offseason too, that Arizona was going to take a step up. They were going to be right there. And actually probably a little bit better than what I thought they would be, but obviously still got half the season to go. But right now, hey, Arizona's going to be a tough out with Kyler Murray and the way he's playing.
And that defense is playing better.
Yep.
The NFC least. The top team has 3 wins, just letting you guys know. So, again, Cowboys, y'all can find a win. Y'all
oh, nice. Work your hat in honor of it. Yeah. Nice.
3-4 is your division leader. That's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the playoffs started this weekend. Philadelphia will be hosting Tampa in the 4-5 matchup.
Wow. So you won a home game, huh?
What's the over-under? What's the over-under? Is the NFC East going to have a 9-win team? No.
No, they won't.
Hell no.
Hell no. They might be good to get to 7.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. You'd be lucky if they get to 7.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Hey, let's let JQ do the top 5 college football. And then, Rob, I do want to talk about the updated NBA mock draft, because that's coming up. My guy, there's some rumors that the Hawks are looking at Tyrese Halliburton. That dude does look kind of skinny, man. I'm going to curious your thoughts about him, too, and then we'll talk about the Pelicans. So that's kind of what's happening, too. So JQ, do that, and then we'll let Curtis and Gary kind of wrap up and then add some thoughts to this amazing show. So go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to start with Alabama. They just look the most complete right now. 6-0, Mac Jones, even, you know, them losing Waddle, they haven't skipped a beat at all. So you got to give them that respect. I personally, I know I'm a homer, and we'll see what happens in the next 2 games, but Justin Fields in that offense just looks super dynamic, and they're going to have to play some better competition, and I own that from a Big Ten standpoint. Penn State has not lived up to the billing. Michigan is not looking like they're living up to the billing. But when you watch them play and the ease in which they get open against anybody and he's hitting them and making some NFL-level throws, defense taking a step back, but I figure they would. They lost a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball to the draft. But I would personally put them too. And then, listen, if you take Trevor Lawrence and put him in that game, I think they blow the doors off of Notre Dame. I really do. You got
a freshman who's playing his
second or third game, and he took Notre Dame to 2 overtimes at Notre Dame. Like, if Ian Book in his 7th year of eligibility, like Rob likes to talk about, you can't put away a freshman quarterback at home until it goes into 2 overtimes. I have a hard time putting them there. So I'm going to do what the media does, and I know sometimes we hate it, but when I watch that game, I'm looking at, if Trevor Lawrence plays this game, they destroy Notre Dame. I really believe that. So I'll still leave Clemson 3, me personally. If you want to put Notre Dame 4, also the strength of doing what they had to do by being Clemson at home and put them 4. I know that's not going to be popular because they just lost by putting Clemson above them, but I personally would have Clemson 3 and Notre Dame 4. But you got Florida. I don't understand these people with Texas A&M. Well, Florida over Texas A&M. Last time I checked, Texas A&M beat Florida. So
yep.
I would have Texas A&M, you know, knocking on that door right there. I can't put a Cincinnati and a BYU there yet just because the competitions they're playing is still, to me, a rung below. So I would go Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Texas A&M knocking on the door.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. My top 4 is in exact order. As much as I hate the Gumps, you got to put them at the number 1 spot right now, right? And, I mean, they're doing it year after year. They're in contention. And, you just look at the first-round mock that I have. Alabama's got 5-6 players in that mock draft. When you look at the 2 wide receivers, you look at Mac Jones, you look at Alex Leatherwood on the offensive line. You look at Dylan Moses. You look at Patrick Surtain. I mean, that's 5-6 guys right there. I mean, they're the most talented overall team in college football right now, and I hate to say it. But, you know, I do have Ohio State in number 2 spot, Clemson in number 3. Hey, I predicted Notre Dame to win that game last weekend on our show just because Trevor Lawrence was going to be out. And, you know, I've seen the time after time again where a freshman quarterback has a big game, then the next game, you know, you get a little bit more film on him. And he still actually played pretty well against Notre Dame. But
2 overtime.
But it still wasn't enough. And the Trevor Lawrence, now obviously Trevor Lawrence don't play defense, but I think he would have controlled the game a lot more and would allow Clemson to go on the road and win that game probably by at least 2 touchdowns. But I still like Notre Dame in the 4th spot as well. So that's my top 4. And the same thing, Texas A&M and Florida is the two best teams, in my opinion, outside of the top four that I've seen. But watch the Oregon Ducks, though. They could be a sleeper here in this thing if they could run the table in the Pac-12. Watch the Oregon Ducks because they got some talent on that team as well.
Shout out to Oregon.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, and that's what Oregon's going to have to do in the Pac-12 is run the table. Now,
yep.
What my question is, how many? I thought I heard three games canceled out of the SEC Saturday due to COVID.
Yes. Yes, LSU, Alabama's postponed or canceled. I think Tennessee and somebody else canceled, and Auburn, Mississippi State is canceled.
So that throws a monkey wrench in everything.
Postponed.
That's because these
canceled.
People in the South don't want to wear their masks.
Postponed.
Yeah. Clowning. Yeah. They have a COVID weekend, they call it. I think it's December 12th, I think, where all those games are going to be made up.
Yeah. Gentlemen, we got 5 minutes here. What else you got to say, Curtis Gary? You got anything else to add to that just about the topics for this evening or what?
Let's talk about let's talk about the Pelicans offseason, Rob. Well, what I want to talk about, what do we know? What do we know? Because the NBA, what did they do today? They signed an agreement on when they're going to start and how this is going to go. Did they do that today? I think I saw something about that.
A few days ago, actually. But the NBA season is going to start on the 22nd. Obviously, we're just about 2 weeks. No, next week is the draft on 18th, next Wednesday night.
Yep, they face Wednesday.
The NBA draft, and they're going to write into free agency like a day or two after that, on like the 20th to the 21st. So their off season, the season seemed like it just ended because it did just end. And we're going to write into the draft, and we're going to write into free agency. And we're going right into a 72-game season starting on December 22nd. And they're going to have that play-in method again this year between that 8 and 9 seed that we saw this past year in the bubble. So it's going to be really interesting. But we're right back into basketball here in just a little bit over a month here, starting on December 22nd in off-season. You know, JQ sent that text out today about Phoenix trying to get CP3. Hey, that, you know, Monty Williams coached him briefly in New Orleans. Yeah, that'll be a really good pickup. You saw how well Phoenix played in that bubble. They were undefeated, 8-0. They would have done, that was a team you didn't want to see in the playoffs, right? And when you talk about Devin Booker, the big guy they got in the middle, DeAndre Ayton, and if you can find a way to get a Chris Paul or go with that team, hey, man, just you're talking about a serious contender probably right there. So it's going to be real interesting to see. I know the Lakers want to try to get another star. It's going to be really interesting to see how this NBA offseason shakes up. I know the Clippers want to get the CP3 race. The Milwaukee wants to get in the CP3 race. And there was one other team, I can't remember, Philadelphia, I believe. Philadelphia wants to see what they can do to get in the CP3 race, too, along with James Harden. But you know he's not going to get both of those, so those two guys don't like each other. And so it's going to be really interesting to see if this NBA offseason is going to be as exciting as the last NBA offseason. The last NBA offseason, we saw quite a bit of things. As far as the Pelicans are concerned, we talked about this, I believe, last week about Drew Holiday. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they really pull the trigger. And if so, what are you getting in return, right? The Pelicans are claiming they're going to be active here in the offseason. They definitely need some interior defense. There's no doubt about it. And you can never have enough shooters. So yeah, you need some interior defensive presence on that team. And you need some more shooting on that team to surround Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. And hopefully Lonzo Ball continues to work on his shot.
Hey, JQ, what's the update? I saw something on Kyle Kuzma wanting some big contract with the Lakers. What's up with that?
Yeah, hopefully a pipe dream. Like, I was a big Kuzma fan coming into the past season. I was hoping he was going to step into a tailor-made possibility to be the third star on that team with no pressure when you've got LeBron and AD that's going to get all the pressure. And he did not step into that role. I don't see how you do that unless you're doing a sign and trade to somebody else that really wants him and says, you know, if you sign and trade him to him for this, you know, so he can get this contract since we have his bird rights because he's a rookie, you know, from the Lakers. But outside of that, I just can't see them giving him big money when you already got to pay LeBron and AD. If I'm going to fork over big money, I would go outside, you know, my current roster to get that third star. He just hasn't shown that ability. I don't know. Some people aren't made to live in L.A. and New York. You know what I mean? Like, it gets to them. They want to be a celebrity. They forget about being a player. And I think that a lot of that has happened to him in L.A. He's gotten so in his head about who he should be and all the hype that came with it that he forgot to put in the work and keep elevating his game. And maybe a change of scenery is the best thing for him. He might need to go somewhere more quiet, we can more concentrate on it. But the L.A. lifestyle and the New York lifestyle isn't for everybody. And everybody's mature and emotionally prepared for that. And I think that really has happened to him. He wants to date a Kardashian and do all these other things. It's like, bro, go to the gym and work on your craft. So, Bobby Lakers, I would not do that. I hope that's just him trying to pump up his stock and not for real behind the scenes giving him big money.
Did you see that as well on the news that he was wanting that? And I was when I saw that, I thought, why would they do that?
Right. Why?
Because, you know, he was more of a, to me, he was more of a liability out there when he was out there than anything else. He was just another body out there. He was not that third guy. He wasn't the fourth guy. Most of the time, he was the fifth guy on that team when he was out there. And for him to say that, I thought, boy, he really thinks high of himself.
And that's part of the problem. I totally agree.
He's found the example of his favorite player, Paul George, for you, Gary. So he wanted to, you know, set an example.
No.
So there you go.
Yeah, one thing we know how much Gary loves Paul George, and we know how much Curtis loves Tom Brady.
I was going to leave that alone this week. You know, what I'm hoping we're not looking at, and, you know, we've seen it in boxing a lot. I'm hoping we're not seeing Tom Brady fall off a cliff. Because, you know, Father Time is undefeated, as you guys always say. And the next couple games, I'm going to be watching for that. Tom might be falling off that cliff.
There it is.
Yeah.
Let's Rob get his mark.
Yeah, that game this past weekend, they got behind so fast, and they totally went away from running the football, and it just kind of put Tom Brady at a disadvantage. And
you
saw the Saints just pin the ears back and just came out with a serious pass rush right now. So I'm not ready to write them off just yet. I just think they had a bad game. They just wasn't prepared to play in that game on Monday night. I mean, I'm not rooting for them by any stretch of the imagination, but, I'm not going to go out and say that Tom Brady is done just yet.
There it is. Hey, Rob, get your mock draft in real quick, and let's wrap up the show, man. I do want to talk about it because the draft is next week on Wednesday. If we're going to have a show either on Wednesday or Tuesday, but if we have a show on Wednesday, we got to, like, obviously dress up. But go ahead.
Hey, watch LaMelo Ball. He could easily be the number one pick from
number
Minnesota.
One. I heard about that.
And, right now I still got Anthony Edwards. I mean, I got another week, you know, before the draft. But LaMelo Ball is all indications. Of a lot of people say Minnesota is extremely high on him. He could possibly go number one overall. I still think Anthony Edwards is the best player in this draft. He's the one that can get to the rack and score at will. He's got the jump shot, and he can get to the rack. I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive on the defensive end. But he's, in my opinion, still the best player in the draft. James Wiseman, I think, would be a scary, perfect fit for Golden State, unfortunately. And I have him at the number two spot. Obi Toppin, small forward from Dayton, going to Charlotte at the number three spot. I got LaMelo Ball right now going four to Chicago. Hey, your Atlanta Hawks. Onyeka Okongwu, big man from USC. 6'10", 250 pounds, a beast in the paint. And I'll be quite honest with you. He reminds me a lot of Bam Adebayo. He's got that kind of potential. Big man from USC. So watch him. Got him going number six. Tyrese Haliburton, you mentioned him, Andre. I got him number eight to the Knicks. I always say he reminds me a lot of Andre Miller in the way he controls the pace of the ball game.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey, he's a guy to watch. He was a five-star recruit. Had a so-so freshman year at Kentucky, but he's got a lot of potential. I got him at number 13 to the Pelicans right now. Another guy to watch is Sadiq Bey, small forward from Villanova. I got him going to Boston 14. Reminds me a lot of Bruce Bowen, the guy that can defend. And if you leave him wide open behind that three-point line, he's going to knock it down. So he's a defender, and he's a shooter. And so watch Sadiq Bey as well. The precious dude. I got him going 15. Another guy who his name might be Precious, but that dude's a beast in the paint. And he could be a guy that could be another Bam out of bio type. He's going to rebound. He's going to defend. I got him going 15 to Orlando. Portland, got to take Cole Anthony, guard from North Carolina. Let's see who else we got on this list here. The Lakers, got to take Nico Mannion, point guard from Arizona. You know, project him at best as being a backup in the NBA, but still a guy. Not the greatest of athletes, but he's a guy that can control the paint. Control the pace of a ball game. Trey Jones, point guard from Duke, got him going to Oklahoma City at 25. So that's little hits and miss on the mock draft.
Yeah, it's hard to get anybody. It's hard to get those steals in the 21st. You know, draft in the 20s. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Hey, you know, sometimes you get lucky though. You never know.
Yeah.
Three scouting department in hand. Manu Ginobili in the latter part of the second round.
So it's Tony Parker. Hey, you didn't mention Portland for Curtis and Gary, Rob. But
I said Cole Anthony, point guard, North Carolina.
Cole Anthony. My bad. There you go, Cole Anthony. That's a good pick.
Okay. It's gonna be interesting in Portland this whole year what they do, and I think they're gonna give up on Whiteside.
There it is. Yeah, we'll see. JQ. Go ahead.
We need him in New Orleans.
I just can't seem to get over that blue suit. I got that picture on my phone. Wow.
A teal, wow. My brother.
Teal, yeah.
You got to step your game up. And be
I only had one thing.
You can't pull it off, Gary?
That's not teal.
Look at that, man. Three-piece on you, too, man.
Like a banker.
Three-piece. You see that vest with it, too, huh?
I see that.
I only had one thing that I saw that was crazy that didn't make the list that I was going to, you know, briefly discuss. Tony La Russa being away for 10 years, being hired by the White Sox, we talked about it. But they hired this dude knowing that he was getting ready to be convicted of a second DUI. It's just amazing to me that, you know, you have any minority coaches, you know, across the landscape of sports, mainly in baseball, and you can take a dude that hasn't coached in a decade, and you hire him knowing that he's been arrested and getting ready to get convicted for a second DUI. Like, just the reek of privilege is just so incredibly crazy that, you know, when you try to point out to people what that means, that's what that means, because a dude named Jaquan Jenkins ain't getting hired.
Yeah,
10 years
so we know how much you like to drink, but they won't give you that privilege.
Yeah, no, sir. Not no second DUI. Like, you know he's got a second DUI, and you hired him anyway, a decade removed from being a manager. I read that and was just like, wow.
And when they signed him, they did it over drinks.
Oh man!
Where's Steve? Sarkisian, when you do him? Oh man!
Wow.
Remember you talking about that, JQ? Where's Steve Sarkisian when you need him? We were just going off.
Yeah.
Let that man drink so he can call plays, man. That's funny, Gary.
I told you. He was
when
he was a drunk. He was a great play caller when he was a drunk. He was a fantastic play caller. He got sober.
I'm a drunk. He was doing it.
But he must be drinking because he got. He calling some good plays at Alabama right now.
Oh, man.
He must be back on
that side. Lastly, that's good stuff, Gary. No, but I was going to make sure that you guys are good for the week, man. So, again, keep it up. I know it's been a long, long week. I know emotionally we've been drained earlier that too, man. But, you know, happy that the country seems to be going in the right direction as a country. Yeah. So, again, let's keep it up, man. You guys have an amazing, amazing week. Next week, looking forward to the NBA draft, as always. And keep the mask on, all the fun stuff. A lot of love for you guys, man. So anything else you want to wrap up, Rob?
Tomorrow's Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
That means a lot.
Tonight.
Tomorrow's Veterans Day.
Indeed.
Here's our veteran right there. I don't know about
there.
You guys, but this Curtis is our veteran. Jerry had to go to the VA hospital with me today. And we had to do some appointments. And we got another one on Thursday.
Gotcha.
Hang in there, brother. And
hang in there. We got you.
Thanks for all your contributions and everything done for our country. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my family too. Same thing. They got a lot of my family, a lot of military in our family too. So everyone's probably got that scattered as well too. So much love for all the veterans out there too. Rob, go ahead and end the show, bro.
Dad,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna go ahead and end it up tonight. Next week, we should be back to our normal night of Wednesday night. I appreciate everybody adjusting on this week. And thank you to our listeners for joining us here on a special Tuesday night edition. But we'll be back on Wednesday night next week, the night of the NBA draft. Probably have some live updates for you on the night of the draft. So we're going to be back at 11 p.m. Eastern. Oh, I'm going to the East Coast next week, people. I got to get used to 11 p.m. Eastern time. Now I'm going to be joining Andre and JQ. Help me out. I'll be back in the 11 p.m. Eastern time zone, 10 p.m. Central for our people in Houston and New Orleans and Chicago, and for our friends in Albuquerque, Salt Lake City, and Denver. That's going to be 9 p.m. And for our friends out there in Portland, Eugene, Seattle, Vancouver, Canada, Sacramento, Santa Clara, L.A., San Diego, hey, join us at 8 p.m. on next week. Good night, people.
Wow.
Oh, you folks in Corvallis?
Impressive, Rob, impressive. So Gary's got to come all the way to Tampa if he hits that wave in the next 10 days. He's got to get all the way down to Tampa. Okay.
I'll be feeling y'all pain at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. Your ass is going to get off the call. What's going to happen? But y'all shut the hell up before I go to bed.
Yeah. Right. I do like JQ do, take a nap before the show again.
Hey, man, sometimes it be like that.
I used to have to do that for the 10 o'clock Central.
Yeah, we still.
All right, y'all.
All right. Yeah, be good. Have a good one, fellas. Peace.
All right, y'all.
Good night,
y'all later.